Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. So many people are struggling. Food bank use is up. We are reminded daily about the lack of affordable housing and homelessness. Drugs and the opioid crisis are serious concerns. While many organizations and institutions struggle with these problems, one agency tries to help them all. The Northumberland United Way raises money each year to support many community groups, and it runs a host of its own programs. In this interview, you will hear from Alicia Van Dyne, the new executive director of the United Way. You will hear about her efforts on the job over the last 6 months, and she will share a bit about herself. Have a listen. I am so pleased to have today with me Alicia Van Dyne, the Executive Director for Northumberland United Way. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you so much, Robert, for having me today. I'm very excited to be here and have a chance to talk to your listeners.
Let's start off with something really straightforward. Who is Alicia Van Dyne?
Well, I have been in the not-for-profit world for 23 years. I've worked for various organizations, doing both fundraising and communications. Most recently, I have been in the community health supports sector, working with Community Care Northumberland for almost 10 years, and then moving to Community Care in Peterborough to lead their donor relations team. And this opportunity to come back to Northumberland County, where I love and live, was just such an amazing opportunity to sort of bring my skills home. And I've always admired the work of United Way. It has been a legacy and a really important part of service. And to come back and be the executive director and lead us into the next 55 years, I'm very excited.
When did you join Northumberland United Way?
So I started at the end of January this year. So I'm very new and very proud.
Now, what brought you here? I mean, it's one thing to say you came here, but what brought you here? What was the attraction?
You know, I have always been very passionate about not-for-profit and not-for-profit, the world that we live in and doing the work that many people do. And one of the things that I absolutely loved about the United Way is all the work that they do in reduction of poverty, inspiring kids and doing programs that are related, but also access to the community and providing the funding to allow people who do the work to do the work. And I thought that was very inspiring. But I'm also proud to say that we have some of our own programming too. And Backpacks for Kids particularly was something that I was very interested in. We recently completed our Day of Caring, which I don't know if you're aware, Robert, but it was the largest ever. It was the 25th anniversary. We had over 200 volunteers and 41 sites. And I'll tell you, what an inspiring day to see that collective out in the communities doing great work.
Why Northumberland?
You know, I came here a number of years ago, so I wasn't born and raised here. I'm actually from the Kingston area. So the Thousand Islands is always home, but Northumberland has become my new home. I love the fact that we have some urban center. I love the fact that we have rural areas. I've had an opportunity to live in Cobourg. I've had an opportunity to live in the Campbellford area. And now I reside in the Brighton area. And I'll tell you, each of the municipalities is unique. The people are so welcoming and friendly. And we still have that small town charm. Even though we do have those urban centers, it's still small town charm. And I feel like we're the best kept secret that's starting to get out.
You also did the workplace campaigns for Northumberland United Way prior to 2020 at some point. So you do have a bit of experience. Can you tell us what that was like?
You know, workplace campaigns have traditionally been a payroll deduction. And those payroll deductions are from the amazing employees of many of our manufacturing firms, which have such a large a role to play here in Northumberland County. And I think for me, I would like to see that expand. You know, we have traditionally been seen as very Coburg-centric, and it's because our office is here. But truly, we support all of Northumberland County. And I'm really excited as our team develops to really start reaching out to some of our partners, not only in the Coburg and Port Hope area, but beyond and into our, you know, I think of Campbellford, but they've got some great things happening. Brighton has great things happening. And so I'm really excited to start new relationships because beyond fundraising, the United Way is truly about relationships.
Previously, and you've mentioned this already in our conversation, you were at Community Care in Peterborough for just over 9 years. What made you decide it was time for change?
So I was with Community Care Northumberland for almost 10 years, and then in Community Care Peterborough for four. And, you know, really taking a look at the United Way, this opportunity doesn't come around often. The executive directors in the past have been here a number of years. It was really just the right time for me. You know, COVID, I think, like everything, changed a lot of people's perceptions of what, how, and they wish they spend their life. And for me, I absolutely loved my team at Community Care in Peterborough, but I felt that I had done the work that was needed. And I was looking for a new challenge, and the United Way, coming into the 55th year and really thinking about what the next 55 years, I want to really put the seeds in to really help them move forward.
You seem to have many qualifications for this job, quite a very long list of certificates and degrees and diplomas. How do these certifications make you especially right for this job at this time?
You know, the one that I'm the most proud of, Robert, is my CFRE designation. That's a certified fundraising executive. It is a very comprehensive course. It takes a lot of years to receive it, especially when you work in a smaller not-for-profit because you're not raising the levels, you know, of some of the folks that, you know, hospitals or different things. But one of the things that my values align really well to that designating body. And the Bill of Rights for donors that we adhere to is something that I absolutely agree with 100%. And so that's why I really aspired. It took me 8 years to get my CFRE designation. So it was not a short-term commitment. I did it as I was working, and like many people, you do it a course at a time, or you do it an assignment at a time. But I'll tell you, it's the one that I'm most proud of. I worked hard to receive it, and it aligns so well with my values.
How then does this apply to the position that you're in now? I mean, it's a great accomplishment, and rightfully, you're very proud of it. But how does it apply to the situation that you're in now with the United Way? What skills does that give you that you bring to the job that will make a difference here locally?
So one of the things that CFRE, as I mentioned, is a certified fundraising executive. And the United Way's business is raising funds for the community and really being able to effectively lead not only programs, but also fundraising campaigns. I mean, as you know, we have a large goal to meet this year. And it's being able to transfer skills between both individual donors, corporate donors, you know, planned giving donors, and having that skill to really know what appeals to individual donors and telling stories. And because of my communication background as well, Robert, one of the things that I truly believe People want to do good work, and they have to have an understanding of what that work is. So when I tell people about our Northumberland Eats program, for example, the Northumberland Eats program was a voucher program where not-for-profits were provided a voucher to give to their clients. Clients could use it at a local restaurant, and the restaurants would send the United Way the bill. We received funding to pay those bills. And that's wonderful, but I don't start telling the story like that. What I always say is, I have this amazing impact story that I want to share with you. And we had a single mom. She's doing okay. She's got three kids. She's working really hard to keep everything going, but there's not a lot of extras in her house. And her older child always takes care of the younger siblings, making sure that, helping mom out, right? And it came up to her birthday, and she was able to use a Northumberland Eats voucher to buy her daughter a birthday cake. And to me, telling that story allows people in Northumberland County to really have a better understanding of what Northumberland Eats program is and what it will become as we evolve it.
You've been in the job now for 6 months. What are some of the accomplishments you've achieved over this period?
The one thing that I'm particularly proud of, Robert, with Northumberland Eats program, the voucher program was a program that worked during the major COVID time. And it really checked a lot of boxes. It made sure that someone had an immediate meal, but it also helped our local businesses as well. And one of the things that I'm most proud of, I've recently redeveloped our food insecurity granting stream. And within that granting stream, there's going to be five separate areas. And two of those areas we've already received some funding for. And we're going to be working at a much more foundational level because, yes, it is very important to provide a meal today for someone who needs it, but we also need to be able to provide support to the folks who are a little bit further down the line who can help, get people out of the system. Some of these new grants are going to be for our food banks to help them meet that reaching, that growing need that's happening. And the one that I'm particularly proud of is our Grow. And that Grow stream is going to be giving our not-for-profits in the food security business an ability to buy some goods from local farmers because we all know processed food can be, we need it and we absolutely provide it at our food banks, but it's also an opportunity to bring in some fresh produce, which everybody deserves because Northumberland County has this plethora of opportunity with our farmers. And this stream will allow us to compensate our farmers for the work that they do.
What about the big picture, strategic planning aspect? What are you looking at going forward from here over the next couple of years as a horizon?
Of course, we have immediate need, which is always our next campaign. But I'll tell you some of the things that we're really looking at. We are really taking a peek at, we are currently doing our Community Matters survey. And the Community Matters survey is really an opportunity to talk with the community to find out what is important to them. And finding out what is important to them helps us to really think about what our funding streams are moving forward. And I'll tell you the one thing that has really come loud and clear to me, Robert, our younger generation need to be engaged in the not-for-profit world. And how do we do that beyond their volunteer hours at the high school? How do we get them passionate about different causes? And the one thing that I have seen as a theme, and I'm really thinking about in terms of our next steps, mental health for our young people is something that they're talking a lot about. And currently, the United Way doesn't have a youth mental health stream. And so, taking that information from our Community Matters survey is really going to help us inform the funding allocations that we ask from our not-for-profit areas. So part of my strategic vision is really to have a look at our three focus areas and the subcategories within them to make sure that we're meeting the mark in what our community needs and what our next generation of donors is looking for.
Now that you mention that, I mean, there are some very obvious areas of concern for many people in Northumberland. Homelessness is a big issue. Affordable housing is a big issue. Opioids is a big issue. Stresses on seniors is a big issue. And you've already mentioned youth as being another one. How is the United Way addressing those aspects of our community?
So, Robert, maybe some of your listeners might not be aware, but we actually sit at a couple of tables. We sit at the affordable housing table. We also sit at the Northumberland County Leadership Table on Homelessness. Part of our role as United Way, we have a unique opportunity to connect government to not-for-profit, to individual donor, to corporate. We have this ability to sort of reach across these various sectors. And I think it's really important for us to continue to sit at those tables. I am not an expert on homelessness. I am not an expert on opioid addiction. But the wonderful thing about having the United Way brand is we have the ability to ask questions to our experts to say, what are the things that you're doing now? What are the things that you could be doing in the future? And where we fit in is how can we fund those things to those positive outcomes? So I'm really excited to learn more about these issues and to really listen to the experts that we have. We have this wonderful group of people who around these tables who are frontline. They are really going to be the people who we are going to lean into for expertise on what to fund in the future.
So it sounds to me that the role of the United Way is not necessarily to go out and do things directly, but to support those groups that are active right now in those areas.
Absolutely.
When you're sitting around these tables, then, are you already in the process, or have you picked out programs, campaigns, other projects that you feel are urgently needing your monies to then be able to move forward and to have an impact on the community?
I would say, Robert, within the next 6 months, that's definitely something that we will be formulating. For me, because we're still in our Community Matters survey, I don't want to jump the gun just because I personally think I want to see what the community says because I think it's very important for the United Way to always make sure that we have a balanced approach. And that balanced approach really is making sure that we do our research. We find out from the community what is important to them and the things that they would like to see, and also tailoring that to the experts and what they want to do. And I think that that's what makes the United Way very unique, is that we have that ability to kind of be in both worlds.
Has the role of the United Way changed in Northumberland over time?
You know, I had someone else just recently ask me that, Robert. I think that our role has changed a little bit. People immediately think of the United Way as the funder. We are also a thought advocate. We advocate on various topics related to our three focus areas. But a lot of people are very surprised to learn that we actually operate some of our own programming too. One of the things that we're particularly proud of is our 211 service. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, Robert, but it's an award-winning access. People can call 211. They can go online to 211. It's 24/7. It's translated in 150 languages. And people can call or get that website and access services that they're requiring. There's always somebody there to answer the phone. And if you think about the old telephone book, do you remember the blue pages? Maybe I'm dating myself a little bit, but the old blue pages and it listed everything. 211 has taken that and then grown. So if somebody said, I don't know how to find a family doctor, they could call 211 and 211 could provide them the information about Health Connect. So it's that type of thing that It's such a needed service across the province, and particularly here in Northumberland County. And it's one program that we are particularly proud to support. Backpacks for Kids, as you know, is one. Last year, we distributed just over 1,500 backpacks, and that need is growing. We've already received requests asking for more this year. We have, of course, the Day of Caring, which I mentioned to you, where we have this fleet of volunteers who go out and in 41 not-for-profits to do some work that they otherwise couldn't afford. I'll give you a couple of examples. We did some painting out at the barns at the Donkey Sanctuary out in the Roseneath area. We did a little bit of work at the Humane Society and putting in gravel along the fences so that the dogs weren't digging under the fences. We did things like paint some walls at the Cobourg Fair Share here. We did some work in Colborne at the local thrift stores. So that program has 25 years of development, but I think it has another 25 years of lovely impact. Our Period Promise program and really advocating for feminine hygiene products has really been something that has been passionate here about for our community. Over the years, we've distributed over 50,000 products. And just I think that what I was sort of getting at, Robert, is I think the people have thought of us strictly as a funder, and we provide funding, and we of course we still do, but we also are providing some of our own programming as well to fill in the gaps. And I think as United Way moves forward, then we will continue to look at that to see what makes sense.
You've already alluded to the fact that United Way raises money from corporations, unions, employee payroll deductions. The United Way has had a very high profile, but it's also exists in a very competitive environment. You have to vie for the attention of limited dollars from individuals, and there are so many groups in Northumberland that are competing for donations. Where are the sources of revenue to raise money these days? And what strategies are you using to keep your community profile and continue to raise the money you need?
I think that one of the powerhouse sections of the donor that United Way has been able to capture over the years. We're sort of like a multiplier. So when a donor makes a donation to the United Way, we're able to sort of multiply that dollar out into various organizations. And so I think one of the things that's really important for us moving forward, our planned giving program, so that folks can make donations as part of their estate, that is definitely something that we will be exploring because most people want to leave a legacy as well and really see some of the work that United Way does over the years continue. But individual donors have so much power too, Robert, because every $20, every $50, every $100, they all add up. And one of the things that I have said to our current funded partners, let's do things together. Let's think about doing a fundraiser together. Let's think about how we can do better to communicate all of our causes. Because I think while they succeed, we succeed too. And so I'm a big proponent of let's work together. And I'm very particularly proud of that, Robert. Just recently, Community Care Northumberland is one of our funded partners, and they provided some volunteers from their staff to participate in our Day of Caring to give back to another organization. So I'm particularly proud of them for answering that call in my first 6 months.
But do you find that it is competitive out there, that there are all these other organizations from, the Lawn Bowling to Greenwood Coalition? I mean, there's just so many out there that are seeking to raise money. And at the same time, the United Way some years ago, there wasn't a lot of competition. There was some high profile, the hospital and that kind of thing, and raising large sums. But now it just strikes me that everywhere somebody's asking you for a buck. So how does that impact you and how you think about going out and being able to raise the amounts. By the way, let's just for the record, because we've mentioned it a couple of times, but we haven't said the number. What is the number for this year, and how are these factors impacting your ability to raise that?
You know what, Robert, you've hit it on the head. It definitely is much more of a competitive environment to be in. But I think the one thing that sets us apart is our ability to reach across various sectors. And what I always say to donors, give what you're passionate about. If you are passionate about kids, we are able to provide some programming or funding allotments for those. If you're passionate about poverty reduction, we have the ability to direct dollars in that fund as well. You know, our goal this year is 955,000. It's a big goal this year, and I think we definitely we're going to make it because we're reintroducing some of our events that have happened pre-COVID and haven't happened for a while. We have some amazing donors who've said, we really want to see all of the great things that you're doing, and we're already making our commitments for this year. I think, you know, for us, definitely it is a competitive environment. But I think one of the things that we, our biggest strength is our ability to cross sectors. And people know we've been here since 1969. It's our 55th year. People know and trust the United Way. There is a brand recognition that they know that we will do the best with their dollars. And that's something that I think, Robert, a lot of other organizations don't have that longevity that we have that gives us a little bit of an edge.
You're not the only new face at the United Way. There are some new key people on your team. Can you introduce us to them?
Yes. So I have Kyle Johnson. Kyle is a newly graduated sports management person. I have him working as my new special events fundraiser. He's going to be working on projects like our golf tournament. He's going to work with some pickleball folks. He's going to be working on the Strawberry Social. He's going to be working on lots of different community events. And I'm really excited to have his youth and his energy. I'll tell you, he comes with some wonderful ideas on what the future can be. And I really thought it was important to have someone younger on our team because they bring that youth perspective, as I mentioned to you earlier, and what's important to the next generation. I have Mackenzie Macklin is my summer student this year. Mackenzie is a student that's has some research experience, and she's really going to be leading the charge for our Community Matters survey. We are going out to local festivals across Northumberland County. Upcoming, we were at the Bow Wow Festival this past weekend, but we're heading to Highland Games. We're going to be in Campbellford. We're going to be in Brighton at Applefest. We're going to be utilizing her time to really get out and ask people in different parts of the community what their opinions are on various topics. I also have April Day. She is our new communications and fundraising coordinator. April comes with many years of communication experiences. She actually used to work at Much Music, which I discovered, which is kind of cool. So, you know, she comes to us with that experience. She recently was working with the Coburg Farmers Market to really help them with their social media. So, and for her, she's going to be really leading our communications and our program-related fundraising. I am so excited to have these new folks. They're really building on the legacy of the teams that have been here over 55 years. And I think we've got that legacy in good hands.
There's been a bit of a revolving door within the position of the executive director of the United Way. In 2017, Heather Norris came and then she left. Bobby Dawson came in August of 2022. Maggie Darling just left before you arrived, and now you're here. Nobody seems to stay very long. What's the reason for that?
You know, I can't speak for them. I don't know why, you know, they would have left. I think too, when you're an executive director, Robert, it's a lot of responsibility. It's a lot of you have to really be dedicated to the cause. You have to be dedicated that your time sometimes is not your own. And I know that they all relished having an opportunity to meet with the community. I can speak for that, certainly. I'm really excited to put my own spin on things. I recognize that I'll never fill the role of our longest serving executive director, but I'm anxious to put my own stamp on things too. And I think that, I think it's like everything. COVID was certainly tough on a lot of organizations. Any executive director, doesn't matter what organization you were through, leading an organization through COVID was exhausting for a lot of folks. And, I think that those folks go on and they get rejuvenated with the new roles that they take on. And the wonderful thing is I can still reach out to them for that history and that knowledge. We still have those relationships, and I think that that's a real credit to the United Way, is that we have that ability to continue, even though they may step down and do a different role. We have that history and connection. Once United Way, always United Way. That's what I was told.
Tell us a bit about yourself. Who is Alicia Van Dyne when she's not working?
I am an avid golfer, so my friends would immediately say, Alicia's a golfer. My dad taught me to golf. He always wanted to have a golf buddy. So it is something that we enjoy together. I like to curl in the wintertime. I've not had the opportunity last year just with my schedule, but I do enjoy to curl as well. I love to read. I'm a reader. I'm forever reading fiction novels. I'm always reading non-fiction novels. Recently, I've been reading a lot about charitable causes. I think of myself, I tend to be a thoughtful person, and I try to lead always with kindness. And I've had a couple of people say to me, "You have a very soft way," and I appreciate that because you come from a place of knowledge, not just please give me a donation. My philosophy has always been, I'm here to facilitate donors doing great work. It's not about me. It's about the donors who want to make a positive impact, and I'm just helping them to figure out which one is the best one for them.
Can you tell us a bit about your family?
So recently, I just lost my mom, who was a very big part of my life and really inspired my career at Community Cares. Because when you have someone that has medical issues, you become very aware of community supports. And that's what really inspired that journey. We have a small nuclear family. My mom and dad married almost 60 years before she passed. I am an only child, so we're very small, very connected, kind of the three musketeers is what we would always say to folks. My dad and I still are very close as we're working through the loss of my mom. And I keep my friendships very close to me. I very much enjoy friends that I've had for many, many years, friends that extend across not only past workplaces, past educational experiences. I still have a friend of mine that we've been friends since kindergarten. So, it's kind of an interesting mixture of Alicia.
Who inspires you?
A friend of mine actually, I'll talk maybe professionally and then I'll talk individually. I had the opportunity to work with an executive director in the London area after I had graduated from university there. And absolutely amazing. I think of her always as my mentor. And sometimes when I go into meetings, I actually think about the things that she would say. She was a wonderful person to really understand being a woman in the not-for-profit world, and how to hold ground and not, I say this all the time to people, and not suck all the air out of the room. How to be humble, but how to hustle hard. And I have taken that into my career throughout my career. Her name is Cheryl Miller. She was a person in the not-for-profit world in the London area for years and years and years, went on to be a city councillor there. I aspire to be like her. She is absolutely amazing. Most recently, the person that I try to emulate most often, is someone actually in the Peterborough area. I often think of Leslie Highway with the hospital in Peterborough. I absolutely love the work that she's been doing there and the approach that she has taken. I think that it's really leading with a donor focus. And I'm anxious to learn more about the local charities because I have been in the Peterborough area for a while. I'm sure that there'll be more examples of that as I learn more and more about the community.
Would you be willing to share a guilty pleasure?
I am a chocolate fanatic. I absolutely love chocolate. And I blame it perhaps on my ancestry, my family name, although we've been in the country for many, many years and many generations. But we have a Dutch and Belgium background on my dad's side. So I feel it's genetic. That's how I justify that second piece of chocolate cake.
Do I understand you're a journalist? I was checking out and I see you're a freelance reporter for the Brighton Independent, Northumberland News, the Brighton Beacon.
Yes, I have done all of those roles. I have just most recently been working with the Brighton Beacon. I love to write. I find it was a passion that I discovered a little bit later in my life. And I think it kind of goes along with reading because I have been told that journalists tend to be good readers too. One of the things that I absolutely have enjoyed about my time with as I evolved with those companies and those mediums, I love telling good news stories. I loved sharing the information to the public. And really, Robert, you have this amazing opportunity to share great information. And I know that that's one of the things that kind of keeps all of our media folks, not only employed, but it's about the passion that they have for their individual communities. So, I mean, just recently with the Beacon, I was able to do a story about Cindy Conlin. And Cindy is a wildlife photographer who lives in the Brighton area. And she's won a plethora of awards from National Geographic. And here she lives in Little Brighton. And how amazing. So I kind of look at as my role in the media was really to help showcase and to shine a light on the little gems that are around the county.
Is there anything listeners should be watching out for in the upcoming months going forward? What should they keep an eye out for?
We of course will be doing our traditional mail outs. We did send out a postcard just to remind folks who the United Way is, especially for new folks that are coming to our area. We have a lot of new people moving to Northumberland County, and I have no doubt that they know of their United Ways in the Toronto area or Ottawa area or whatever area that they might be coming from. But we really wanted them to understand that there is a local United Way here that services all of Northumberland County. I definitely think that is something to watch out for if you haven't already received it in your mailbox. We'll be doing, of course, our traditional letter campaigns, asking people to make donations. But I think one of the things that people should be watching for, definitely check out your local festivals because this is going to be an opportunity for you to have some influence on what the United Way will be funding moving forward. And so I think of apple blossom festivals and I think of all of the things that happen across the county and in Warkworth and Campbellford with Chrome on the Canal. That's definitely where people should be looking for the United Way booth.
Alicia Van Dyne, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you so much, Robert.
That was Alicia Van Dyne, the Executive Director of the United Way. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.